I've been all across this country.
Folks, welcome back to Monday Night Shaw right here on the Backbreaker Media Network. I am your host, Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. The Canadian Goose. And on the show today is one of the AWA wrestling students from the Alberta Wrestling Academy. It is TJ Cannon. TJ, how are you doing, brother?
I am doing well, my man. How are you doing? How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing okay. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I listen every time you post a new interview, so I'm excited to do this.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, for sure.
No worries, Matt. No worries.
How are things going at the Alberta Wrestling Academy?
Honestly, my man, I'm not going to lie with you. I just got back into the ring actually a couple days ago after not training for a few months just because I've had some stuff going on. But things are going good. They've upgraded a lot since the last time I've been there. I myself got in the ring and I realized I got to put a lot of work in, but I'm excited to be back.
I hear you. That's one of those things, eh? Anytime you you miss any time, you get a little bit of rust on you, and it can be really challenging.
No, exactly, man. It's just life happens too, you know? So, but like I said, I'm excited to start working my ass off, getting the ring rest off and getting my ass back at the gym if they even stay open, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's been another thing this year that's made everything very challenging is all the restrictions and whatnot, for sure.
No, 100%. It's not trying to make any excuses or anything, of course, but like, consistency is a hard thing to have this year for sure, but like I said, no excuses. Sometimes you just gotta buckle down and get her done.
For sure, brother, for sure. So how many actual like wrestling matches have you had on shows and whatnot?
So I'm still a bit of a rookie. I've only had I think 4 or 5 matches myself.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So well, I guess I mean it doesn't sound like it's a huge biography of matches. Why don't you give us a rundown on what the matches are you've had?
Yeah, so my first show, actually, I was on the Josh Alexander show. I wrestled Steven Styles and I lost my first match, unfortunately, but I impressed him enough, I guess, that he took me under his wing. And then the following week, I'm not mistaken, I was in a tag team match with him and Randon the Rhino against Matt Hart, the Virus, and I think Bruce was in there as well.
Bruce Hart?
No. Bruce, Midget Bruce, the small guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I think I would remember if Bruce Hart wrestled.
No, exactly, right? Like, that would have been something for sure. I would have been honored to do that early in my career for sure.
100%. Okay, so it was the tag match with you guys, and then your first match was against Squig. What was your third match?
The next one, I do believe I got the privilege actually of honoring the ring with Heavy Metal when he had his collarbone, unfortunately. So I didn't get to wrestle a full match with him, but he got a super kick, took me down real quick, and got the 1-2-3.
Oh, but, okay. Yeah. That was probably his first match in months that didn't go for like an hour long.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I do believe I was his first match after his collarbone. So it wasn't much. Like I said, we couldn't do too much due to his injury, but it was still a privilege to get in the ring with him.
Oh, 100%. And he's fantastic too. So like, I'm sure one day, you know, now that he's healed up, you guys will get to wrestle again, and it'll be a learning experience for you for sure.
Yeah, he unfortunately, like, he did a seminar actually at my the wrestling academy I go to, and I was moving that weekend, unfortunately, so I couldn't make it down. So I'm hoping that the next time he comes for a seminar, I'm gonna get my ass down there and learn some stuff from him.
Oh, awesome, possum. Yeah, I 100% would vouch for him as a teacher for sure, because I mean I train at the Top Talent Wrestling Academy in Edmonton, which Heavy Metal owns.
Right. So, yes. Yeah. See lots about it.
Yeah. Look. Yeah. And it's very, very good. It's a lot of hard work for sure, but there's no doubt about it that Heavy Metal and Michael Richard Blaze both know what they're doing. So.
No, exactly. They both got a really impressive resume, so it'd be crazy not to go down there, right?
Yeah, for sure. So anytime you get the opportunity to step in the ring with either of those two guys, I would recommend you take that opportunity for sure.
Oh, 100%, man. Like I said, I jumped on that match as quick as I could. I was, I'm from Winnipeg myself, but even back there, we hear a lot about heavy metal. So it was very appreciative to get in the ring with him that early.
Yeah, no kidding. So that was your third match, and then what was your final? What was the last match that you actually had?
I had a match with Coda. I lost to Coda. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that was an interesting match. I'll tell you that. He's a big guy. He's definitely the biggest guy I've been in the ring with so far. So.
Yeah, for sure. I've wrestled him a couple of times, and I've teamed up with him too.
He's an intimidating force, especially when you're across the ring with him, for sure.
100%. Yeah, for sure. Let's move on, because you told me before we started this that your father was actually a wrestler in Winnipeg a while ago.
Absolutely,
so
yes.
So can you elaborate on that a bit more? Like, who was your father? Like,
So my dad was TJ Bratt. He was primarily known in the Winnipeg circuit, but he did travel some parts of Canada, if I'm not mistaken. He broke into the business, I think, early 2001. So about 20 years ago now, actually. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
And when did he retire, or like I?
So my dad was, he wrestled quite a bit when he was around my age. He was like 24, 25 when he was doing his most reps. He actually had a bit of an accident where the rope actually snapped on him as he was running the rope, and he landed on his head.
Oh, no.
So that kind of took his, I don't want to say his focus or whatever, but he kind of realized like family was more important at that point. So he kind of slowed down on the wrestling. And then he started promoting, actually. So he started running IWM out of Manitoba. Brought in a bunch of WWF legends like King Kong Bundy, Kamala, Honky Tonk Man, all that fun stuff. And then, yeah, he just kind of slowed down. And then I think he officially retired in 2013.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful about the ropes, eh?
Like, no, definitely.
Yeah, like there's a very specific way that you have to hit the ropes and stuff so that you don't get hurt.
Exactly.
Especially like in case the rope ever does snap, like you got to make sure that when you hit the ropes, grab on, right? Like
exactly. It's just like Bruce Hart is one of the trainers at the Alberta Wrestling Academy, and he's obviously he repeats himself a lot, but he does it for a reason. And one of the things he says a lot is when we run the ropes, make sure you grab it the proper way. Otherwise, you could hurt yourself bad. So I clearly have a close to home experience with that. So I get what he says.
Yeah, 100%. That's like, yeah. I mean, I can think of like two, like one of the, like the worst situations is if you're going for like a lion salt or something and the rope breaks, that can be a really bad situation too.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, do you remember that clip that went viral with Ricochet and Will Ospreay, I think, where they were doing some like flippy stuff into the ropes and it completely snapped on them. So
I did not see that. No, I was, yeah. I mean, I've seen it happen to like Jericho.
Okay. Yeah.
But I did not see it happen to Will Ospreay and Ricochet. I imagine that probably threw off the entire rest of their match because those guys rely like heavily on the ropes.
But honestly, man, the way they, the pros that they are, the way they reacted to it, it kind of looked like it should have happened. That's just how good they are. You know what I mean? But I'll definitely send you the clip after we're done with this. And it was a crazy show to watch, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just glad that nobody got hurt for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, like I said, they didn't skip a beat in it, so it was shows how good they are.
Awesome. Well, can you, like I say, I mean, you're still rather new in the wrestling industry and whatnot, so can you describe, like, what a typical day at the Alberta Wrestling Academy is like for you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, honestly, it's one of the best places. I've trained in two places. I got trained a bit in Winnipeg with AJ Sanchez, and the CWE had a school down there for a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, AJ Sanchez was on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He, I see, comes down to Calgary RCW quite a bit, so I'm hoping to run into him and chat with him because he's always been a good guy to me. But as I was saying, it's just like, I've been to two different schools now, and I could honestly say, like, Alberta, the Alberta Wrestling Academy is, like, top tier. I love it. Basically, the way the day goes is you get there, for instance, 8:30 in the morning. We do about half an hour of stretching.
8:30 in the morning?
So we the nice thing about the Alberta Wrestling Academy is they have multiple classes going throughout the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, like, all my classes are definitely at night. Like, we get there about 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
don't get me wrong, I'm not much of a morning person. I just got a dog, so I'm trying myself to be a morning person, and he's kind of helping me out with that. But like I was saying, they offer, basically they allow you to stop in whenever you need, basically, so they work around you is the nice thing. Otto and Ed and Bruce and all the coaches there are great for making it flexible for you. So I just happen to now I'm going to start going at 8:30 in the morning just because it works better for my schedule.
100%. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but yeah, they basically you start off with a good stretch for about half an hour. Then we start off with a slight workout with our personal trainer, Ryan Hansen. He's amazing. He's on top of his game. He's always there for the students. Yeah, man. And then, yeah, we get right into training, whether it's you got Coach Otto, you got Coach, like I said, Coach Bruce, you got Sweet Daddy Soul's been stopping in to help us out. So,
oh, right on.
Yeah, he's lots of people are stopping in. We got Torin Hart back in actually with us. So,
oh, okay. That's Bruce's son.
Exactly. Yes. So
yeah, I really like him. He's a nice guy.
I haven't had the chance, unfortunately, to actually step in the ring with him because he just started coaching us, actually, I think about 2 weeks ago. So I'm looking forward to stepping in with him because I heard he's very knowledgeable.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to it. I've never been in the ring with him either. I've never even trained with him. Maybe once at the Workhorse Fitness Center.
Right.
Maybe, but I'm not even like 100% on that. But he's always a very friendly guy, and it's always like super nice to see him. That's one of those things about like all those Hart guys. Like anytime I see Matt, I'm like, you know, just happy to see him, and they're always happy to see you. I remember we did the show, the benefit show for Rhett Hart, Torrance's brother, who's in a wheelchair, right?
Right, yes.
And so we did a benefit show. It was like a charity thing, Can-Am Wrestling and RCW. And before the Battle Royal, this girl came backstage and was giving all the guys hugs. And I just, like, I, like, turned over to, like, the guy next to me, and I'm like, hey, who is this person that's just, like, coming backstage and giving us all a hug? And they, he was like, oh, that's Bruce Hart's daughter. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense now then, because I was like, it's just random person coming backstage for, like, what this is weird. But, you know, then it made total sense, and it was like, oh, okay. And then, like, even Bruce, like, is a really nice, very friendly guy, like, very approachable at shows and stuff, you know what I mean?
Nicest man you'll ever meet. I tell everybody that there isn't a time where I've met a Hart and they don't greet you with a smile, and that's the honest truth. Like, they are probably the nicest family I've met in wrestling, for sure.
100%. So when your dad was running these shows back in the day when he became a promoter, were you hanging out at those shows? Were you going backstage and giving people hugs and stuff?
So, like, my dad, I'm not going to lie, I had a lot of cool wrestling experiences, but for the most part, when my dad was promoting, he mostly did bar shows, so it was like 18 plus.
Oh, okay.
And I was still a little guy at the time, so I couldn't really go to the shows, but I got the cool experiences of, like, I got to go hang out in a hotel Travelodge with Jim the Anvil Neidhart for, like, 2 days. I got to go hang out with King Kong Bundy for an afternoon in a in a, like, literally a hotel room, and I made a connection with him to the point where he sent me a bunch of Christmas presents the following Christmas. Like, I had really cool experiences like that, but I didn't get to go to the shows a lot. But when I went to the PG shows, I sure had a blast. You know what I mean? Like, it was, I tell Coda this, but I knew him back, like, back in the day. I grew up with him, and, like, one of my first ever memories was watching him wrestle in Manitoba against Mr. Kennedy in a steel cage match. That's, like, one of my first ever wrestling memories, and my dad said that must have happened in, like, 2002. So it's,
yeah, I've had Merck has been around for quite some time, for sure.
Right? Yeah, he's he, like I said, he's like one of I've known him. He's basically one of my uncles. He gave me my first ever, like, WWF action figure back in the day. Like, he's I got a lot of history with him, so it was cool to share the ring with him, especially.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So yeah, lots of cool experiences due to my dad promoting. It was a good time for sure.
Has your dad given you any tips on your wrestling? Like, do you ever, like, chain wrestle with your dad or anything?
So unfortunately, my dad's based out of Winnipeg. So I'm the only one actually out here in Calgary. So I don't really have much family out here. It's just really me, myself, and I.
Okay.
So for the most part, though, like, my dad gives me as much info as I can when the shows are up and running and stuff. Like, I honestly can't even have a match without my dad blowing up my phone asking how it's going. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
It's
what's some good advice that you've gotten from your dad?
My dad honestly just says, like, honestly, it's kind of like the same thing you hear from everybody as a rookie, though, but very important is mouth shut, ears open. You know what I mean? You make sure you don't disrespect any people. And honestly, if you do a little research, my dad kind of had a bad history. He kind of had a big mouth in the wrestling scene, but he learned from his lessons, and he's teaching me well. So I appreciate what he does.
Yeah, that is definitely a very, very important lesson when you're, especially when you're just breaking in and stuff, you know. I mean, I know that I've noticed a couple of times where, you know, guys from Alberta Wrestling Academy have been on Facebook and maybe said some things that they shouldn't
have.
And I'm, you know, I've even personally messaged a couple guys, you know, well, one guy in particular, just to be like, hey man, like,
tone it down. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and like, I do it, like, politely, just from the point of view of, like, look, I, you know, I've been there, but, like, I think it's really important the way that you conduct yourself, online, and just, like, being respectful of veteran wrestlers, you know, like, Matt, guys like Heavy Metal and Vince Austin, they've been around for so long that, like,
their opinion just might not be yours, but odds are it's the right one because they've been around a lot longer, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and so, like, it's just been, you know, anytime that I've, you know, messaged this particular individual, it's always been from a place of just, like, you know,
you're
not like, hey,
them,
what
yeah.
the fuck are you doing? But more so of, like, you know, you're going to be better off if you're making friends with people and being nice with people and, you know, not being defensive and stuff, because that's going to hurt you in the long run.
My whole thing with I know exactly which individual you're talking about. And my whole mentality about that is just, like, why burn any bridges before you cross them? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's even not even that, like, even that's a selfish kind of mentality, if I say it that way, but, like, even out of respect, like, these are your veterans, you know what I mean? They're the ones that are leading you in the locker room. They're honestly probably going to be the ones that are giving you the opportunities. So,
yeah, well, and I do get it. Like, it's a very testosterone, ego-driven business, and, you know, nobody wants to look weak or whatnot online or otherwise, and sometimes you can get carried away in your, like, wrestling character or whatever, and maybe say
but
some
the,
things
the,
out of turn.
The thing
you
is,
know?
Though, is we're so the particular we're talking about. We're so so what's the word? Not like we're not even far into our wrestling career that character's not even that established yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That's 100%.
So it's, like, kind of like that gray area. Like, he's still a rookie. Like, it is, yeah. What, like, I understand he's got some strong opinions, but at the end of the day, let's quote The Rock, we got to know our role, you know what I mean? And we got to show up and do our thing. Like,
yeah, 100%. Like,
they went through the same shit he's going through, you know what I mean? Maybe. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, for sure. I know exactly what you're saying. And I do think, like, I mean, just from my perspective, as someone who has learned, you know, who has opened his mouth at the wrong times and been shut down, but, like, is, you know, with it enough to have learned the lesson, like, that's kind of the you know, that's... I'm sorry, I'm stumbling all over my words here.
No,
I'm not trying to sound like I know it all or anything.
I know what you're saying, though.
I'm just, like, that's the kind of advice, like, that I gave them, you know, from the perspective. But my own philosophy on, like, social media and stuff is I always ask myself before I pretty much post anything, like, is this going to bring value to anyone or anything, you know? Like, before I post something, like, why am I posting this? What am I going to get out of it? How is it going to make me look? That sort of stuff. Like, I ask all these questions before I hit that little post. And sometimes I even do post it, and then I go back, like, 20 minutes later and delete it because I'm like, oh, maybe that was not the smartest thing to say.
You know? See, growing up in high school, I was very, 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 very social media heavy. I was, like, addicted to it. I lived on it, as any high school student was at my age, you know, but...
When I was in high school, there was no social media.
I'm a bit younger than
you. We had MySpace.
No, man, yeah. When I was in high school, we had the prime, like Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and all that was just coming out. So, we were on everything, and I quickly learned not to run your mouth. Cause like, that's a representation of you and people could pull that up so quickly. And you know what I mean? Like, especially in, bringing it back to wrestling in a career where your image and everything is so important on how you market yourself. It's yeah. crazy how some people spew their mouth on social media, you know? Like, I said, I'm not saying I was perfect on the internet. I used to run my mouth all the time, but when it comes to your career, I think you should be a little more careful.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Like, and don't get me wrong, like, it's fair for you to have your opinion and whatnot. It's just that you should ask yourself, like, is my opinion going to ruffle anyone's feathers? Does anyone care what my opinion is? You know, like, am I contributing to the conversation here, or am I just, you know... Am I stirring the pot? Yeah, for the sake of stirring the pot. And, you know, if the answer is yes to that, or you're just saying something because you're hot under the collar or whatever, like, it's probably a better idea just to sometimes it's a better idea to say nothing rather than to put your foot in your mouth. You know what I mean?
Put your foot in your mouth, or a lot of the times I noticed too is just like when you're posting about a negative thing, like, why even hit post? You know what I mean? Like I see a lot of the certain individuals we're talking about posts about like certain styles of wrestling he doesn't like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, you don't gotta shit on it just because you don't like it, because that might be somebody else's.
He's not the only person that does that,
right?
I don't want to keep talking about him because I don't want him to get upset and think that we're trying to trash on him, because I like him and I think he's a great guy.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I've had conversations like this with him too. So,
but he's not the only one. And there's other people like I saw
out of my school, particularly. I agree. And our coach honestly has had talks with us numerous times about trying to get our guys to stop it.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. I know that, like, because, like, there was I was online, I think it was, like, last week, maybe the week before, and I saw Andre Corbeil, who used to stand at ringside and film matches for us and stuff, and he was like, I wish the WWE would die. And I was like, that is an extremely, like, negative opinion to have, you know? I just don't understand, like, how you can be someone – who's, you know, claims to be in the business, who, you know, you're covering it as a journalist, and yet you're, you wish for the death of the WWE, which is like the biggest platform that provides a stage for wrestlers to ply their craft.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, that's where all, like, pretty much anybody that becomes a wrestler would love to be in the WWE. And, like, most people are working to get there. Like, that's just a super, like, negative. Yeah. So I mean, it's pretty rare that I'll actually try and, like, just
chirp
debate
in.
or chime in on anything. But on that one, I just had to be like, what are, like, that's super ignorant.
It's like you said, man, everybody's like entitled to their opinion, and as long as you don't ruffle feathers too much, it's just like you're entitled to yours, right?
Yeah.
And as long as you're not a dick, or you stomp on somebody's opinion, I think you have every right to say or express how you feel, because they're doing the same, you know.
100%. I think that's another big thing is, like, if you do have something to say, the way you go about saying it, it can make all the difference. Because, like, you'll find that, you know, if you read my posts and stuff, I mean, maybe if you go back a couple of years, it's a different story. But, you know, nowadays it's very much like, if I have a difference of opinion with somebody, I'll make it clear that, you know, like, who the heck am I or whatever. But here's my opinion, you know, and I will respectfully lay it out to them. But I very rarely, you know, resort to, like, name calling and that's why, like, there's other things, like, I don't even touch on, like, politics and stuff anymore.
Yeah,
like I will not even comment on political posts, because I'm like,
let's throw Corona into a political post too, because that's just as that's a hot topic right now as well, you know what I mean? So
yeah, and I mean, I get it, there's you know, I do have an opinion on it, but I don't feel the need to go around and you know, express that opinion, because, like, you fall on one side of the coin, right? And as a public figure, if you do express what side of the coin you fall
you're
on,
you're
isolating everyone that doesn't fall on the same.
Yeah.
Like, if I go, I'm a Republican, then all the Democrats are going to be like, boo, he's a Republican. You know what I mean? If I go, I'm a Democrat, then all the Republicans are like, boo, he's a Democrat. So it's like,
it doesn't matter.
I go to the ring and I say honk, 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 and people have a good time and enjoy themselves. And that's what we should be concentrating on when we're online or whatever, is putting ourselves, like, you know, adding value to our presentation and whatnot, and not devaluing it just because we feel the need to put our opinions out there. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. And that's one thing too. And you kind of hit it on a couple sentences ago, though, how you were saying, like, honestly, for me, when it comes to, like, rather hashing it online, like, for in a public forum for people to see, like, if you really have that big of a difference with them, just shoot them a message. You know what I mean? Say, hey, this is how I feel. I understand what you said. Boom. And then it's done with, you know, like, squabbling online in a public forum doesn't do anything for anybody.
Yeah, if that ain't gonna, no wrestling fans are gonna see your back and forth heated conversation on Facebook and go, oh God, I gotta get a ticket to that show,
you right?
Like,
no,
you want to cut a promo on somebody, turn on the camera, film your promo, and you know, put it online. But, like, also be aware that that's, like, you're doing that as a professional, and as a professional, you know, you shouldn't just be turning your camera on and saying heinous shit about people that you have no business trash talking, you know?
No, that's exact. Don't call it a fight you shouldn't be starting, is basically the moral of that story.
Yeah, but, like, Facebook promos and back and forth, they don't make anyone money in wrestling, so they're not worth the hassle.
No, exactly. Exactly.
That's my opinion, though. Like I say, I'm not a veteran wrestler by any means, and
you got more years on me, my man, so you're a veteran to me.
I mean, well, I'm just saying, like, I'm not trying to put it out there like that I'm some sort of expert or anything, you know.
No, understandable.
I've learned how not to conduct myself online, and I think
or how to conduct.
Yeah, for sure.
The positive side of the coin.
And yeah, and I mean, a part of that is because I've got the podcast, and you know, I'm on the like the Love Wrestling gimmick too. So like, I'm like out there and whatnot. So like, I have a little bit more exposure in that sense, but I don't think that it makes me any more important than anyone else or anything like that. And if I conducted myself as such, it wouldn't go over very well.
Hey man, and but just judging by what you said to me right there, man, it's humbleness, man. That's the one key thing too in wrestling I think people should have is humbleness. Yeah. You know,
100%, like for sure.
Yeah, man.
You know, confidence is very, very important, but I think so is humility for sure.
Exactly, man. And a lot of people, I think, have confidence mixed with arrogance sometimes. And
yeah, because arrogance, like Heavy Metal told me in a training session, like, confidence is free, Kyle, because like I do, like I have anxieties sometimes about, you know, trying some new things or whatever. And whatnot, and I get a little bit like down on myself, and he's just like, yeah, confidence is free, Kyle, and I think that that's 100% true, but arrogance will cost you.
That's a good saying. I like that.
Yeah,
that's a good saying. I really like that a lot, actually.
So what is one of the biggest like lessons you've learned since actually becoming a wrestler?
Honestly, man, the biggest lesson I've had is like, no matter, like, you always got to be in shape, man. Always, no matter what. That's my biggest lesson so far, is I've let myself fall in and out of shape a few times now, and I just got to realize consistency is what's going to get me to the next part of this this journey for me. So
100%, and I mean, I can definitely sympathize with you there. Like My athletic ability has also always been like my, from my opinion, my biggest struggle, personally. Like, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty good performer, but I struggle with the athletics of it. And I think that, you know, ever since I like buckled down on my habits and whatnot, like I quit drinking and smoking and that kind of stuff, I think things have gotten a lot better, you know.
Hey, and here's the thing, man, you're taking steps towards it, right? So
yeah, and yeah, like 100%, like you just like you gotta keep working at it, and like you said, consistency is important.
It's yeah, you can't just pick something up one day, do it for 2 days, and then drop it for three, you know what I mean? Like yeah. That's my biggest issue, and that's my honestly one of my biggest goals for 2021 is to get in the best shape I can. So here's hoping things open up soon, and everybody could get their priorities on straight, man. Because like obviously the last couple of years, not I don't want to say couple of years, but it feels that way. I guess the last 15 months have been hard on everybody. So like I said, no excuses, but yeah, that's my biggest lesson I've learned so far, that and just not to be hard on myself all the time. I find when I can't get something down in the ring, I get down on myself, and I have a lot of people at the Alberta Wrestling Academy who could get me out of that I don't want to say a funk, but the negativity in that school doesn't exist, and I'm very appreciative of that.
I think that it's very important that we're all like supportive of one another. And I mean, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean there's no room for, you know, criticism or whatever, but like sometimes when people are like just being real salty and mean about their criticisms, then it you know, it's a bummer, but you just gotta like you say, like have confidence in yourself for sure.
100%, man. That's the thing. And like, I think even Bruce kind of even said to me one day, and it really stuck in my head, was just like, if you go in thinking you can't do it, you're not going to be able to do it, you know? And that's kind of one of my biggest things I've had to get out of my head, is just like the fear or apprehension of doing stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
And Bruce and Otto and even Ed, honestly, Coach Ed Anderson, he's very good at getting you out of your head and actually getting comfortable and stuff and relaxing, so you could actually focus on what you're doing.
Right. What is one of the things that you've learned in wrestling that you were apprehensive about, but are no longer apprehensive about?
Honestly, man, for the first couple, I could even say this to AJ Sanchez. AJ Sanchez helped me with this too, but flip bumps, I was terrified of landing on my head, terrified, and like no matter what, I would second guess myself, and no matter what move I'm doing now that requires a flip bump, I can do it. So it was just a matter of getting out of my head. Like it just, I've never been a super, I don't know how to say this. Like I played football for 14 years. I was a very athletic person. I just wasn't a flippy dippy person. Like I could never go on a trampoline and do a flip. You'll never see me doing a flip off a diving board, that kind of stuff. So that's my biggest,
And that's fair, because those flip bumps are something I've struggled with. I find them challenging. I mean, there's been times where, you know, I'll show up at training and we'll run a big blow-up drill, do a big warm-up with a bunch of rolls and stuff, and then at the end you do some flips and flip bumps and stuff. And once or twice I've landed pretty high, like close to just right on my head, and... But it's, you know, like I try just to not overthink it and be like, okay,
that's the key. Yeah.
Get over and land on your back and whatnot. Don't overthink it, because that's when you're going to run into big time issues. Like things, like simple things for me, like I thought like leapfrogs. Doing a leapfrog over top of a guy always freaked me right out, because I don't have the best knees, and I've always been scared that I'm just going to come down and, you know, just my leg's going to hit wrong and I'm going to mess my knee right up. And it's like you say, if you think about that, like if you think that's going to happen, that's what's going to happen. And eventually I put it out of my mind, and now like leapfrogs, like I consider it to be a pretty simple thing.
Secondhand nature, right?
Yeah. Once in a while, if I'm wrestling with somebody I haven't wrestled before, then the timing can be a bit awkward.
Right.
But I'm not concerned about coming down and hurting my knee. I'm more so like, you know, I'm going to like... not be able to get over the guy, come down on top of him and then eat shit, like face plant or whatever. But it's like, I've done it so many times where I've eaten shit and face planted that it's not even like, it doesn't even scare me anymore. You know, just get up and keep going.
It's like when you're skating, right? That first fall, you're not looking forward to it. But once you fall on your ass that first time and you get up, you're like, hey, let's do this now. Right. Shake the cobwebs off and let's go.
Even with like the flip bumps, like you said, like the worst case scenario, you land high on your head or whatever. You're not gonna be able to pile drive yourself into the mat. No. Worst case scenario is you like brain buster yourself and you land high on the back of your neck, and it's gonna be like jarring, and you're gonna be like, whoa, that was close, but. It's going to be very, very difficult for you to actually spike your head into the mat, just jumping up into the air, because you're like, your body will naturally like not allow that to happen. You know what I mean?
Gravity's on your side. So yeah, you got it. Like my issue with the flip bump for the longest time was, for some reason, I always turned to the left. Like I would do the flip, but it would almost be like a corkscrew.
Yeah, a sideways.
I'd land on my back. But
I hear you. Yeah. Like I say, that's one of those ones that I find challenging, even still to this day. Not challenging to the point where like I get apprehensive and don't want to do it, you know. But
just one of those moves where it's just like, you know.
yeah, I know not to like to think too hard about it, because that's when trouble will happen. You know,
exactly.
But it's like, I think part of it is that you just keep on going too. Cause since then I've learned some other like really like things that make flip bumps and leapfrogs look like, you know, really simple. And, you know, like I could do the one that I learned fairly recently, and it's still terrifying whenever I do it, is the Christopher Daniels moonsault, where you jump from the middle rope onto the top rope and then do a moonsault.
That's sick. You could do that? That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean that's like I say, it's terrifying. And sometimes I'll go for it, and then I like stop myself and land on the ground, but then I have to remember that, oh no, I can do this. So then I go up and I do it again. I've never done it in a match or anything or on a show, but like it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, if I can even just doing a regular moonsault without the jumping from the middle rope onto the top rope or from the bottom rope onto the middle rope, you know, just jump, doing a backflip is like 100 times harder than doing a leapfrog, you know? So if I could do that, then why should I be stressed out about the leapfrog? You know what I mean?
It's like anything, man. Like, repetition's key, right? The more reps you get, the confidence goes up, and then you can move on to the next one, tuck that one in your back pocket. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've definitely, like, I really loved about starting training at the Top Talent, is just some of the cool things that they've taught me that I never thought I would be able to do. And
I can't remember which move it was, but I think it was either you or Metal posted some moves you were doing in back in, like, I think like December or something, or not earlier than that, but it was doing some impressive flipping moves. I can't remember what it was.
I think that was when Metal said he was like making it his mission to turn me into a luchador. And it was a video of me doing a flying head scissors.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's right. Yes, that's right.
And 100%, like, I've totally fallen in love with the flying head scissors. Anytime I'm, you know, on a show and I walk up to the guy and they're like, well, what do you want to get in tonight? I'm always like, flying head scissors. Yeah. And I don't know why, because it's like one of those moves I never, ever believed I'd be able to do. And I actually, like, it took me like I think by the third try I was able to do it.
And that's crazy.
Have been able to do it ever since. And yeah, I got another one like that. Like the, of course, the BME moonsault. I didn't post any videos of that one either, because like I kind of like, I've been told by a couple of people when I, you know, post like training videos and stuff, they're like, hey man, like don't give them the milk for free, you know?
Right.
Like do it on the show and show it there, because then they got to buy the cow or whatever, right? Like
that's
the idea. But like,
don't show all your tricks.
There's a couple of cool things I'm yet to do on shows that I've done in training that are, I mean, honestly, I don't think I've ever done a leapfrog on a show. And it's not
one of the most basic moves.
Yeah. I mean, I think I remember I had a triple threat match against Sweet Daddy Soul and D. Dwight Davis. It was the Smith Hart Memorial Tournament, and we had a triple threat match. And I actually did like an international spot with Sweet Daddy on that show. And I think it was like the first time I had ever done one. And I mean, I do it in training, like literally almost every training session you do, like tackle, drop down, leapfrog, hip toss, you know?
Right.
But I had just never been in a match before. And so I actually ended up going under his leapfrog and stuff. And I remember going back into training and being like, yeah, we did that. And it was awesome. And I was marking out for the fact that we, you know, I
did one of the
him and went under a leapfrog and over a drop down and then got drop kicked or whatever. But like,
just proves though, you never know when you're gonna have to use it, right?
So. Yeah. And I mean, it is one of those things where, like, you know, when I get a chance to wrestle with some other like athletic guys, like, I'm looking forward to that, because I think it'll be fun.
No, man, I'm patiently waiting for the shows to start opening soon, man. It's gonna be nice to get everything going again.
Yeah, are you gonna be involved in the resurgence of the Can-Am wrestling?
I do believe so. That is part of the plan, yes.
Solid. Do you have any, like, details of what's going to be going on or whatnot?
They honestly have not – they haven't really told us students too much yet. And the stuff that we have been told, we've been told to keep under wraps.
Okay, that's fair.
But we do have a lot of cool stuff coming from what I've been told and what I've seen. Yeah, like I said, I can't say too much, but it's exciting. But we're just waiting on all this, I don't want to say bull crap, but all this bull crap to go away so we get back to normality, you know?
Yeah. And I know that RCW just announced the other day that they're going to have the RCW Uprising
show, yes.
YouTube shows. And so I was a part of the tapings for that, so I'm very much looking forward to.
Was that out at Top Talent?
No, we didn't do that at Top Talent. I don't really want to get into the fair details enough, of enough. It yet because it hasn't debuted on the actual
May 1st,
show
right?
yet. But May 1st. I mean, by the time people hear this, it will have already gone up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's good.
We'll
cool
to see the matchup between the Canadian Goose and the Giant Orion.
Ooh, that's gonna be a good one. He's a big boy.
I was completely terrified.
You're gonna have to chop him down a bit, eh? Chop him down to your size.
By the time this airs, people will have seen it and will know that. I tried my best, but the Giant Orion is an absolute giant beast of a man, and so
it was a bad day for the Goose.
It was not the finest hour for the Canadian Goose. No, he gave me a razor's edge, and I'm pretty sure I was like 10 feet in the air.
Made the Goose fly.
Oh, yeah. And I went for the head scissors on him too, the flying head scissors. And he just caught me and stopped me and then turned me around and flipped and flopped me right down onto my face. So I was like, oh.
I don't want to say I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product too, for sure. And it'd be nice if the next time we do some of those matches, if we had more guys from down your way coming up and being a part of it too.
That'd be a bunch of us are just a phone call or message away, but a lot of us, like I said, still need to, me myself included, have to get some cobwebs off of us right now. It's been a while, but I'd love to step in the ring any chance I get, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to, forgive me if I pronounce this wrong, I've been watching the Clandestine Society. Did I say it correctly? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Like I can't say enough about that. It's a good product, the way they present it, and the wrestling itself is amazing as well. So
yeah, it's fantastic for sure. And I mean, I would have been on that show, but I was dealing with an injury at the time when they taped it. I was training one day, and a guy gave me a O'Connor roll, and as I was rolling backwards, I heard just like a couple of pops and cracks and felt something weird going on in my ribs. And I was like, oh, that's very unpleasant. And I got up and I took an arm drag, and it was like more pops and more cracks and more discomfort. And yeah, so turned out, I think I like dislocated some ribs or something. So I was really disappointed that I missed the Clandestine stuff. So
well, judging by the success of them, I'm sure they'll be producing some more shows in the future, I hope. So
I actually was on their first like the Act One show, the one that they did a year ago. And it was in front of fans, and it was the first big win of my career. Like I got my first singles win on that show, and I mean singles win as in the fact that it wasn't a tag team match.
Right.
I was in like a 17 person. It was called "This Is Not a Clusterfuck; It's a Tribute to a Clusterfuck." It was a 17-person Royal Rumble where guys just came out at random time intervals. So it wasn't like every 90 seconds. It was just randomly people come out. But it was also not over-the-top rope eliminations. You had to pin or submit the other people.
Oh, that's neat. That's cool. So,
yeah, I ended up winning that one after, like, I got jackhammered, and then I was on the outside, trying to recover from my injury, and a couple of the other guys were in the ring, and they ended up eliminating each other, and then I came back in the ring, the final guy, and was, like, looking around. And then another guy who was on the outside, it was Tex Gaines, who's like a legend of Alberta wrestling. He came in and he was completely like drunk off his rocker. And he started like, you know, bowing up to me and calling me names and stuff. So I punched him right in the face and stuck my foot on top of him, and the ref counted the 1, 2, 3, and I got my first win ever on the clandestine show. So
that's awesome, my man.
Yeah, that's why I was so upset that I missed it. In fact, for the uprising thing, I wanted to make sure not to miss that, because about 4 days before the uprising taping, I separated my shoulder.
Oh, gosh. Training.
Yeah. And I went home one day. I think it was it was taped on a Saturday, and I did it on a Wednesday. And I went home and I looked at my shoulder and I was like, what is this big bump here? And I was like, oh, I've got a bone sticking up. That's good. And so I went to the doctor and he said, yeah, you have a separated shoulder, and they sent me for x-rays, and there's no broken bones in there.
Right.
But there's like a bone sticking up because the ligaments are not holding.
Are you having to rehab it and such?
I'm having to rest it now. But I was bad, and I just went and did the, I went and did the match with Orion, and yeah. I just didn't tell anyone until like after the tapings were over. And so since then I've just been waiting. I have an ultrasound on Thursday scheduled. And then if that's not too, too bad, then, I'll go back into training and whatnot. So.
Yeah, man, don't rush. Take care of yourself. But yeah. I understand. That's brutal. That's got to be frustrating.
Have you had to deal with any injuries?
Not for the most part, honestly. Like, even like playing football for 14 years, I think the worst I've ever had was like a sprained ankle or something like that. So I'm for the most part, I'm pretty careful.
Yeah, and I mean, there is definitely something to be said for, like healing and whatnot, letting yourself heal and stuff. There's a wrestler mentality to just like tape it up and go, right?
Like, I think that's just the old mentality back in the day, rub some dirt on it and keep going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, for me, like right now with there not being any like fans and stuff, in the building, I'm a little bit more apt to just try and let it heal because there's no fans. But I've wrestled injured a few times, and like I separated my left shoulder about 4 days before I had my first match ever, and it was much more like painful. Like that was really like really really painful for quite some time. But I just
how'd you do that? Just training? Or
yeah, that was a training accident. Was learning how to take back body drops.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was when I was training with Andrew Hawks in his backyard. He was me, a fella that wrestled as the Canadian Grizzly in like 4 matches. He ended up retiring because he got injured quite badly, and got a bad concussion and stuff. So he ended up just retiring after a couple of matches because he's got like kids and a family and stuff. So we've just learned how to take hip tosses and do flip bumps and stuff. And then Hawk is like, yeah, we'll do back body drops next. And I was under the ring fixing like the boards. And Hawk goes, ah, do we need the big, like the mattress or whatever?
Right.
And the other guy, the grizzly bear guy, is like, nah, we don't need that. We're not pussies. So, you know, I'm not about to speak up and be like, yeah, I wouldn't mind if we had the, you know, the mattress. So then sure enough, I took like a couple of them. And I ended up on I think it was like the third one, I went up, but I didn't have enough momentum to flip over. So I came down like in a flapjack, but I came down right on my left shoulder.
Oh,
so it just spiked my shoulder right into the mat. And yeah, so that happened about 4 or 5 days before I had my first match. And
they're intimidating to take on their own when you first start training, man. Like, I remember, so Steve Wild's actually one of our coaches as well. He's an amazing coach with us. He was the one who was teaching us back body drops for the first time, and I was really apprehensive about it.
I still am. Like, I have done it a couple of times since then, but there was very much a long time where if anyone had ever suggested I take one, like, in the back while we were putting together a match, I would have just been like, oh no, how about a hip toss instead, you know?
Right. Hey, they're definitely like, it sounds funny me saying this, but I'm actually like, I don't like heights either, so it's one of those things where it's just like I had to get over that as well. So
yeah, I've also I've wrestled with a broken ankle.
Oh, that's not.
Yeah, that was. We had a weekend of shows, and
Like, did you know you had broken ankle going into match?
Nope, I knew something was severely wrong with my ankle because I couldn't put much weight on it. I had a match with Heavy Metal on the Saturday, in Gibbons, and during the match, I went for a Swanton bomb off the top rope. And I came down with my legs. I didn't tuck my feet. So I ended up smashing my ankle into the ground and was like, oh, that was uncomfortable. And we just continued wrestling for like 5 minutes because you got the adrenaline, right?
Yep, and exactly. Then,
like, I've watched the match back since. And like, you could see at the end of the match, I'm like limping to the back. And then, I woke up the next day and I could hardly walk. And I got to the show the next day because there was a Sunday show, and I was riding with Vic, who is Squig's dad and drives the ring truck, right? So I like limped, and Squig was like, "Hey, what's wrong with you?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. I think I've sprained my ankle or rolled my ankle or something." And he's like, "Oh, okay. Well, tonight it's going to be you and Bruce the Midget against me and my son Matthew." And I was like, "I don't know if I should be wrestling." You know, and he was like, "Well, you can't not wrestle because, like, Heavy Metal had a blown knee for 6 months." And I was just like, "Oh, well, okay." So I took a bunch of Tylenol and wrapped my ankle up real good. And then I went and we did this tag team match. And then, I went to the doctors the next day because that show was in Bonnyville.
Right.
And they sent me for x-rays and were like, "Yeah, you got a broken ankle."
Damn, man.
I was like, "Oh, well, that explains why it was so sore."
Were you out for a while after that, obviously?
Yeah, I had to get a cast on it and everything.
Brutal, man. That's a bum kill. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, it's just one of those things. Like, it's just wrestling. I mean, I'm lucky I didn't hurt it even worse. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe I did, you know? Maybe it was just, you know, a hairline fracture and then it turned into a bigger one. I don't know. But, it was definitely, it was a couple of months before I was able to wrestle again, for sure.
That's crazy. You finished the match, though. Like, not finished it, sorry, but you even did another one after that, too.
Yeah. You know, and I'm proud that I still taped it up and went to the ring that night because I still had fun and whatnot. So,
exactly, man. Exactly. Wrestling's about that, right? It's not the term they use is not ballet.
But there is, like, with the ribs thing, when I hurt my ribs there, that was an immediate, like, oh, I left training and went to the doctor's office because you don't want to mess around with a rib injury. If you got a broken rib, that could like pierce your lungs or whatever, right? So
exactly, all the good stuff's in there.
Don't want to mess around with that. There's other things that like I really wouldn't mess around with, like if I was to injure my neck or something.
No, I think exactly.
I would be making sure that my doctor says it's okay for me to wrestle if I want to. But I fortunately, knock wood, have never had a neck injury.
Hey man, that's luck. Like, not, I don't want to say lucky, but that's good, man. That means you're protecting yourself in the ways you should be, though, right?
So. Yeah, and that's like, that is one of like another one of the biggest lessons that I learned. Is to always protect yourself. Always protect yourself.
And make sure the other guy's safe as well, or other girl even. So
you want to definitely protect the other person that you're in the ring with, because I want them to protect me as well. You know what I mean?
Common courtesy, man. Like, it's honestly, it's crazy that I'm getting trained by the Hearts, because like my favorite wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of all time. Yeah, he's my favorite wrestler. And I remember watching actually some like interviews, and like with the one thing Bret Hart always said too, he's like, as much as he despised the guy, he respected him enough to be safe in the ring with him. So it's one of those things where it's common courtesy to your fellow wrestlers, right?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And like, I can only imagine like how like immature you would have to be to actually like end up getting in a real fight inside of a wrestling match. Like, that seems like a really ridiculous thing to me. I've seen like it happen.
Some New Jack stuff.
Well, like, I was at a show once, and Dan O'Burns wrestled against, I don't know if I should even be using their names, but it was Dan O'Burns and Tony Kazina. And it was a small show in Springbrook, and I guess Dan O'Burns.
Was that CWE?
No, this was an RCW show. Okay. But Tony Kazina was like a CWE guy, so it was probably like while they were doing their tour, he just happened to have this day.
Extra day,
so he came and wrestled for us. But like, I guess Dano had done something to make him angry, and I was working on the music that night, because that was before I was trained to wrestle, and it was immediately clear that Tony Kazina had started fighting Dano for real in the ring, and it was not entertaining at all. Because, like, there was a couple of, like, really stiff, hard shots, and then they got on the ground and were holding each other there. And it was really super awkward. And then Kazina just started, like, he got up and he started yelling and, like, getting really angry at Dano. And he hit him with a couple more, like, hard kicks. And the referee, like, you could tell the referee got scared and just ran to the back. Like, and at that point, when the referee like got scared and ran to the back, I just hit Tony Kazina's music, because he was clearly like, he was winning this fight, right?
Right.
And so like, yeah, they hit his music and he left, and it was TKO. The most awkward, non-entertaining thing I've ever seen. And it just struck me as like, okay, like, this is why you don't want to break down into a real fight, because it's not entertaining. Like, the people are going to just be confused and be like, well, that sucked, you know, because that's kind of how I felt as somebody that was just sitting there working the music, right? Like, it was like, oh, that was terrible.
Especially when it's very obvious to the audience as well, too, right?
But I mean, like, that's like, you gotta, like, I like when we were talking about protecting yourself and stuff, like, you kind of do have to, you know, I have some way to protect yourself, even if it's just to get the fuck away and run away or whatever. But like, you know, like, the Dano had to protect himself from Tony, because it was...
Couldn't just take the shit kicking, right?
He could have just taken the shit kicking, but it's also like you have to protect yourself during the shit kicking, right? Like, I don't know. It's a real awkward situation, I'm sure, but not one that like I say, when we go back to the social media and stuff, like, I try not to ruffle other people's feathers, you know,
right?
Just to give it that little goose acronym there. But I try to not ruffle other people's feathers. So I don't think it's something I really need to worry about, somebody trying to, like, beat me up in the ring or something, because, you know, I'm pretty sure that everybody would be like, why would you do that? You know,
man, like, it's kind of funny. It's like the common theme actually of everything we're talking about today. And it is a good lesson that us rookies do, like, learn quite a bit, is like the respect thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it all, when it comes to wrestling, it's respecting your opponents, respecting yourself, and obviously respecting the audience too. So they, like you said, like, don't ruffle anyone's feathers, no matter what you're doing, whether it's social media, in the ring with your opponent, you know, like,
yeah, 100%.
Common courtesy.
Well, we are approaching the end of the podcast here,
I'm gonna
ask you one more thing, because you've been in RCW now for, like, you've done four shows, so you've been here for a little while. You've probably got a bit of a sense. So, who are the top three guys that you would like to wrestle on a show?
This is I've been an RCW fan since I moved to Calgary, actually, for probably 2.5 years now, 3 years. One guy, my instant I went to, even when he was Cody Camara, was Cody Mack. I love Cody Mack. He's amazing in the ring. I love his gimmick he's got going on. He's got some good charisma in the ring, and he's honestly one of the nicest dudes in the back room too. So.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Cody, and I do, like, I mean, I liked him when he was Cody Camara, but I like him better now that he's Cody Mack, because I just, like...
He sinks his teeth into it, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell he's balls deep in it, man, like...
Yeah, and I think it makes him stand out a little bit more. I mean, I know it's kind of a cheesy, like, job, like, wrestling. Like, when I say job, I don't mean, like...
It's like a 90s,
I don't,
like,
mean he's a jobber. I mean, it's like a career gimmick.
He's like
gimmick,
Repo,
you know?
Man.
Like the Repo
the
Man
Mountie.
Or the Duke the Dumpster Trose,
yeah.
Or, you know, even, like, just to put myself in there, the Canadian Goose. Like, you know, we got gimmicks. It's not just,
right,
like... some guy with a normal name whose gimmick is that they're a good wrestler, you know, because when people go home after the show, they're going to remember, oh, I saw the oil worker and the goose guy wrestle, and I saw the Viking Lord wrestle, you know. They're
exactly
going to remember those guys, I think, over the people that are just like, you know, hi, I'm first name, last name, and my gimmick is I'm a good wrestler, you know.
Exactly. And I actually recall, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe it was your interview you actually had Cody Camara on. I remember him saying, like, he just kind of hit a wall, but he just, like, was, like, saying, like, who is Cody Camara, right? And honestly, like, this, I know I'm very early in my career, but I'm kind of looking at that at myself, and I kind of want to add some substance to my character too, you know? So... I was very appreciative actually listening to that interview, because it kind of opened my eyes in a way I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Cody Mack, he's great. Another guy too, Nasty Nate.
Oh, okay.
I really like his character work. His promos are great. It's like when he posts them online and such.
Yeah.
His match with Josh Alexander, which was actually, like I said, my first show. So I remember that show very good. And his match with Josh Alexander was great. And
I missed that show, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I know I was on the Edmonton show. The
right,
one
when
where,
he faced
where,
Metal.
Yeah. I think I actually was announcing that night, because that's why I missed a show in Calgary, was because I had a groin injury at the time.
Okay.
But I would like to see the match between Nate and Josh Alexander. I'm sure it was pretty good.
YouTube, Nate has it on his YouTube page.
Oh, solid.
So yeah, you could go peek that. But yeah, man, his Nate's character work, I really like, actually. I like his gimmick a lot. He's always entertaining. So, and just the, yeah, he's, like I said, he's solid in the ring too. But honestly, I think the number one person I would like to work in, like, in the future when I'm ready for it is, I really like Sydney Steele.
Okay. Yeah. Sydney Steele's fantastic. I've only been in one match against him. And I don't think I've ever actually been in a match against Cody Chimera or Cody Mack. I was in a battle royal with him once, and that was very early on in my career. And that was actually for Sydney Steele in Lethbridge.
Oh, okay.
And me and Cody, we were both part of the Lethbridge Power Rumble, and we kind of paired off and you know. So that was fun. That was the short little time I did work with Cody, but I was in one match against Sydney Steele, and it was a 6-man tag team match. And I remember at one point he got me in a headlock, and this was pretty early on in my career too. And before I had started all my training at even with force wrestling or whatever. And I remember he got me in a headlock, and he said, "Okay, tackle, drop down, leapfrog, hip toss." And I was like, "What? Like, that's like five things, dude." Like,
I haven't been taught that yet.
Yeah. And so he's like, "Tackle, drop down, leapfrog, hip toss." And I was like, "Okay." So then I shoved him off the ropes, and he tackled me. And I got completely lost, and I got up, and I think I just looked at him, and he was like, "Okay, I guess we're going straight to the heat," and he cut me off and whatnot. So I'd really like to wrestle him again so that I can redeem myself, you know?
No, exactly, man.
I did enjoy being in the ring with him, and he absolutely 100% knows what he's doing. And I'm a big fan of everything that goes on in Lethbridge. Anytime that I can tune in and watch the PPW show on Facebook or YouTube, or, you know, I think they even are on Shaw TV.
Yeah, I'm not. I've caught some of their stuff on Facebook, and yeah, they got some. Even again, their quality of their pay per views that they're putting on their Facebook page, they look fantastic. Like, and is that like I said, I'm not from Alberta, so I'm not too sure. Is that Sydney's promotion?
Yeah.
Okay, so he owns that, eh?
Yeah. He's the promoter of it and everything, and the time that I went down there for the Power Rumble was a really good time. It was a lot of fun.
And that's awesome.
That was back when there was still fans in the arenas and stuff, and yeah, it was a really good time. I'd really like to go and do it again, but I have to redeem myself against him so that he knows I can do international spots.
The time will come.
Otherwise,
man,
he's probably not going to book me.
You got to request a match with him. Knock on Squig's door and say you want to match with Sydney Steele, the real deal.
I'm sure it'll happen sooner or later. I'm just going to throw out a couple more names for you that you should try and get matches with as soon as you possibly can. And that would be Bryce the Slammer Sova.
Yes, he's one of my coaches, actually. Sorry, fantastic man. He's one of the nicest people, too.
Really, really great. And, like, anytime I've been in the ring with him, it's always, always gold. I love it. I've tag-teamed with him, and I've been in a couple of, like, scramble matches against him and stuff, and it's always a good time, and I always learn a lot, and he always pushes me to do something that I maybe didn't think I was able to do.
Honestly, I don't know if you saw, but on our Facebook and YouTube for a while, the AWA was doing like a promo contest while we couldn't train or anything. So, it was very appreciative, actually, of the fact that, like, a few times, actually, Bryce took the time to message me individually and actually give me some props and some pointers on my promos. And I really appreciated it. So it's nice having him around for sure.
And then you've already been in the ring with Heavy Metal. But get a chance to wrestle him like in a full-on match, absolutely.
Literally a super kick 1-2-3. So I'd love to do a hell of a lot more with him. He's, and like I said, a nice guy too.
The other one I would highly, highly recommend you try and get a match with is the Viking Lord, Vince Austin. He's one of my favorite people to work.
believe it or not, I don't know for whatever reason. I don't know if he just doesn't work Calgary often, but the four or five shows I was in the back room, he wasn't on any of the shows.
Oh.
So, yeah, I haven't seen him yet.
Wait till you do, because he is fantastic, and he's like I say, one of my favorite people to wrestle.
He's definitely one of my favorite online presences, I'll say that. If we go back to that, he's when he chimes in, he gets a chuckle out of me for sure.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that has definitely been like encouraging to me, but also like pushes me and really helps me with the whole like character thing, because like he's 100%.
He lives
you know,
it.
He is the Viking Lord. You know, hail Odin. You know. Right. He's 100% in on that stuff, and he always tried, like, hey, do a promo before your match and do a promo after your match. Like, he's constantly doing promos at shows, and I absolutely he's one of my favorite people in RCW. So if you get a chance to work with any of those guys, you're going to be in very, very good hands.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I said, I'm very eager to everything get back to normal so we could get these shows going back.
And I'd like to wrestle you too one day.
Yeah, man. Me and you could throw down anytime you want, man. I'd like to learn some stuff from you too. So
I mean, I don't know what I could teach you, but I think we could have some fun for sure.
No, hey, man. I'm a listening ear, so I'm sure you could feed me some type of advice.
Probably. All right, let's get your social media plugs out there so that people know where they can find you and whatnot.
Yeah,
give us your Facebook, your Instagram, Twitter, MySpace, whatever you got.
So I do have some wrestling pages as well. I do believe on Instagram and Twitter, I'm Real TJ Cannon. I'm not active on there much just because I'm still a rookie, so I don't have much stuff to post. But if you guys want to follow me on that, that'd be appreciated, because I will start posting on that when things start opening up again. Mm-hmm. But that's really it. I'm not super active on them, like I said, but hopefully once things open up, I'll change that.
Awesome possum, bud. Well, you make sure to say hi to Otto and Ed and Bruce and all those folks for me the next time you see them. And I want to thank you for coming on the podcast this week.
No, man, I appreciate you having me down. I'll let them all know you say what's up. And it was great chatting to you. And I just want to say great show. It's nice to have a local show to listen to about local wrestlers and stuff, because it really got me into the scene when I moved here. So very appreciative.
Yeah, and I appreciate you for listening, and I appreciate everyone else that's listened to this episode. Nova Scotia and the Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland.